Let's go in our Bibles. I want to do something this evening. Go to 1 Samuel 18. And if that sounds familiar, it's because it is familiar. We was there some weeks back. I can't remember how long ago that it was. Maybe back first part of June. We preached a message, and I want to pick up the thought. I'll explain why in just a minute. I want to go back and revisit this thought, but we preach from the life of Jonathan on the thought. Do y'all remember it? I'm seeing some of y'all shake your head, all right? In love with David, but loyal to Saul. And the Lord gave me that message several months back. I preached it here, and the Lord has opened up doors this year to preach in some new places I've never preached before, and opportunities to preach. And when the Lord gave me the message, I knew that it was for Calvary. It was for me, and if it was for you. But the Lord put in my heart, He's going to let me take that message and begin to preach it in other places. And I've had the opportunity to do that. And the first time that I preached it out, I'll be honest, I felt bad when I preached it to you the first time. Because when I got done, there was no hope. It was just ruins and shambles and death. And you follow your flesh, there's no hope for you. And I was going to be preaching at the Denham Street Baptist Church there in Kentucky. And I knew the Lord had put that message on my heart. And I went to the Lord, Brother Tim. I said, Lord, I need, there's got to be more to this. I just can't leave God's people busted open and in Gilboa, ruined and wrecked and no hope whatsoever. God began to work on my heart there, even on my ride up there. I made it in the motel and began to just ask the Lord. I like how Brother Tim put it this morning. It's similar to how I would have phrased to describe to you what the Lord did. I said, Lord, show me. And He began to reveal some things. And so if you'll bear with me, I want to read and just kind of lay that thought out again. And if I can, after 2 months, I want to preach the conclusion to you because it has blessed my soul. And the Lord has used this message to be a help each and every time that we preached it. And I've just made up my mind. God put it in my heart everywhere I go. If I'm struggling with what to preach, I'm just pulling this out and I'm preaching it because I think it's so needful in these days. 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you will and able, stand with me. We'll read our verses again. And there's some things I'll say in the introduction tonight as well that I want to emphasize again. I won't lay out all the thought. I'll give us enough to rehearse our memory, and then I'll show you something I think will be a help and a blessing to you, all of us, because let's be honest, we all struggle with our flesh. Amen. We all do. We all do. You say, I don't. Well, then you're greater than the Apostle Paul, because he talked about the fact that he had struggles, and he gave some commands in Romans 6. He talked about his own struggles with those commands in chapter 7. And then he showed us the way to victory in chapter number 8. And so there is victory, and I'm thankful for it. But when you're stuck in chapter number 7, we want to try and give you some hope tonight. The Bible said in verse number 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Look in chapter number 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. In chapter number 20, if you look there, verse number 16, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies, Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. And so we'll leave off our reading there. There's other verses we could read. I want to lay some things out, and then we'll give you some thoughts here tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we ask, Lord, of mercy and wisdom and grace tonight around the Word of God. Lord, I pray whatever struggles that, Lord, we may have tonight that would be represented. Lord, the battles that, Lord, are being fought against the flesh and wars that are waged against the flesh tonight. Lord, that if we could see, Lord, the shape and, Lord, the condition that some folk are in tonight, even ourselves at times, Lord, it would amaze us tonight probably how much help and how much we really truly need to get a hold of the message tonight. Lord, I pray our victory would be found in the Lord. Would you be gracious to us, Lord, to help us, Lord, tonight and in days to come. And in all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We understand as we study the life of Jonathan that we have several things that we can glean from his life even prior to chapter number 18. But he wouldn't be what we would call a central figure in the Old Testament. But when we do study his life, there are two figures, there are two characters, two individuals that stand out that Jonathan's life is the center around these two gentlemen. The first tonight is obviously that of his father by the name of Saul. I would point out to you tonight that that connection and that relationship that Jonathan had with Saul, it was, and you may want to write this down, it was a natural connection. He had this relationship by way of his first birth. He could not help who his daddy was. He could not help this connection that he had with Saul. It was a natural connection, much like the connection that I have with my father and you have with your father. And in that, there is a natural connection that that has been passed. Their genes, the gene pool of your father was passed down into you, and his nature, which was of the Adamic nature, was passed on to you. And there is a natural connection in that relationship that we have. And in that connection, we think about all that Jonathan can tell us about Saul, how that Saul one time had the blessing of the Lord upon his life, the anointing of God upon his life, the favor of God upon his life, the touch of God upon his life, the fellowship of God upon his life. But because of sin and because of rebellion and because of his straying from God and disobeying the commandments of God, Saul was rejected. There is a wonderful picture there for you and I of our own natural connection with our flesh. In that when man was made, he was made in the image of God. He was made with the touch of God and the blessing of God upon his life. But because of Adam's sin and because of Adam's rebellion and because of Adam's disobedience to the command of God, Adam in his flesh was rejected of the Lord. And tonight, that which is born of the flesh, Jesus said, is flesh. That there is on the inside of every one of us a spiritual soul that we have a natural connection with because we've been born of the seed of Adam. There is a part of us that is in rebellion against God. Amen. There is a part of us tonight that is full of pride, is full of arrogancy. There's a part of you and I that has gone wayward and estranged from God. And Brother Tim, we'll get to it, I'm sure, in a few weeks. In Isaiah 53 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And we have done that. We have done that in that natural man, that Adamic nature, that the Bible identifies as our flesh. And this evening, the flesh is real, and its power is real, and its influence is real. And the flesh tonight is so wicked and hell-bent on enjoying this world. And John the Beloved had to remind us that all that is in the flesh, or all that rather is in the world, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, and then he said the lust of the flesh. And so the flesh, it longs for that is in the world. The flesh longs for all of that is contrary to the will of God. The flesh longs for everything that is unholy. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Galatia, would make clear and plain in a list of things by which the works of the flesh are made manifest in our life. All sorts of immorality, all sorts of rebellion and strife and fighting and envy and idolatry. And he goes through the whole list and simply says, Brother Tim, and such like. And so there's not an exhaustion to the list and the activities and the manifestations that the flesh can get you and I led into and involved in. And all of that is represented in Jonathan's relationship to Saul. It is a natural connection. But notice what the Lord showed me. I studying this again, and I study it every time I get ready to preach it, and it just seems like the Lord keeps adding to it. And if he don't stop, it's going to be a 6-hour message before it's over, Brother Mike. I thought about Jonathan, the second character that Jonathan's life is the center of. He has Saul on the left hand, but there is this one brought into his life in the beginning of our text verses by the name of David. And now if Saul, he had a natural connection and relationship. I want you to understand with David, he had a spiritual connection and a spiritual relationship. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look there again in verse number 1. I about had a shouting spell when the Lord showed this to me some time ago. He said, the Bible said, the soul of Jonathan was knit. Notice that word, knit to the soul of David. I want to say tonight that the knitting of a soul is something only God himself can do. This is not a natural connection. It is a spiritual connection. He, my friend, had something with David that went beyond the natural realm. It went beyond anything that a man could explain. It was something God did in the heart of Jonathan to knit his soul to the soul of David. And in this, we find a lovely picture of our Lord Jesus in the life of Jonathan. I find that only God can knit us to the Lord Jesus, only by salvation's power and that transaction that takes place when we're introduced to Christ and come to him and begin to love him and bow upon our face to him and do as Jonathan did in stripping ourselves before him and laying down all our garments and all our identity. Amen. All the weapons of our warfare that, amen, would be turned against him. We lay that down that God might knit our soul to the Savior. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad. Amen. I've been knit. I've been born again. Amen. Into the family of God. I know Jesus. Amen. Is knit to my soul and my soul to his. I think about, the Lord showed me this. Why would Jonathan enter into this spiritual connection that he had with David? Well, you got to understand where Jonathan is prior to chapter number 18. Saul has led him down a hard road. It was Saul, his father, that natural connection that like they killed Jonathan one day in chapters gone by. Saul, I ain't got time to deal with all this, but Brother Larry, he had made and sent out a decree that no man was to eat. And the army began to be famished. You know, your flesh, it'll starve you to death. Amen. It'll keep you from having any life about you. Amen. It'll make things hard on you. And you remember Jonathan. He had been out in battle and dropped his stain down in the ground. And when he pulled it up, there was honey on the end of it. And he ate that honey. And the Bible said his eyes began to be enlightened. And his soul began to be strengthened. And old Saul got angry with Jonathan for not following the command. He sought to kill him, and had it not been for some other men around to tell Saul what a crazy idea that was, and stand between Saul and Jonathan, Jonathan would have been slain by his own daddy that day. And so you find that Saul had made some hardship in Jonathan's life. In chapter number 17 is where Jonathan is going to be introduced to David. Amen. You say, well, what happened in chapter number 17? Well, in chapter number 17, David is in the father's house. And the father said to David, I'm going to send you down there that you might check on the battle and see what the shape of those men are. And so he's on a mission from the father's house. And the father put some provisions in his hand that he might carry down to those that were in the battle. And when David got down there, he didn't see a group of men. He didn't see a nation. He didn't see people, my friend, living in victory. He seen them cower down behind every shrub and rock pile. He seen men living in cowardice. He seen men living in bondage of fear. Amen. But he showed up, my friend, having been sent from the father's house. And when no man durst run against the champion of the enemy, it was David that said, I've got a cause. It was David that said, I've got the power to overcome him. I'll go face him in the name of the Lord. It was David all alone and by himself and went down and conquered the enemy and took the head off of the giant and lifted it and raised it in victory. Amen. If that don't sound like the Lord Jesus, I don't know what does. Amen. You see, 2,000 years ago, amen, he was sent from the father's house, and the father sent him down. And when he got here, we was in bad, bad shape. And sin and the devil, Brother Mike, had done all they could to carry us into bondage. Amen. And we was like Jonathan. Amen. The old adversary, the devil, had us in the bondage of fear and in the cowardice of the flesh. And the flesh wasn't willing to help us. And the flesh wasn't able to help us. And I'm glad the Savior came with a cause. And he went to Calvary all by himself. Amen. And with an old rugged cross, he went the head of the enemy. Amen. And raised his hands. And brought about our deliverance. Amen. Ain't that good tonight? Amen. I tell you why Jonathan's soul, amen, got near to the soul of David. Amen. It's because he found in him a deliverer that was able. Amen. You see what Saul could not do. What Saul was not willing to do. I said what Saul was not able and willing to do. And God, David came and died. And when Jonathan saw all, he died. Amen. And when the bondage was lifted off of Jonathan. Amen. When that old cry of the champion was no longer able to be heard. He found in David a deliverer that was able. Amen. You know why my soul's knit in salvation to the Lord tonight? Cause in him and him alone I have found a deliverer that is able. Amen. My flesh couldn't deliver me. My flesh was not willing to. My flesh was hell-bent on the world and satisfying itself. Amen. It was fine with the bondage of sin. It was fine with all. Amen. The life that I had planned to live. And I'm glad, thank God, Jesus. Amen. Paid for my salvation. I found in Him a deliverer that is able. Tonight I'm gladly knit. My soul is glad to be knit to His because He's a deliverer that is able. Amen. I find in our text tonight, amen, He not only found in David a deliverer that was able, but He found a friend that was faithful. Amen. The Bible said that it was both Jonathan and David that made a covenant. Amen. You say, what does that mean? That means Jonathan promised some things. And that means David promised some things. That means Jonathan said, I'll do this. And David said, well, I'll do that. And he found in David a faithful friend. And now we know the gist of the thorn that we're going to deal with. Amen. We've already dealt with. I ain't going to deal with all of that tonight. Amen. We understand that Jonathan's going to fall short of that covenant. And we understand that there's going to be a time when David is going to get on his knees and weep and beg Jonathan to come with him. He'll abandon Saul and abandon the flesh and abandon the rebel. And David is going to beg him to fulfill his covenant, his side of the covenant. And you know what I found instead in the relationship between David and Jonathan? You know what Jonathan found in David? He found a friend that was faithful. Amen. David never turned from those promises he made. He never one time failed. He never one time bailed out. He never said one time to Jonathan, amen, you ain't living up to your side of the bargain, so I ain't going to live up to mine. Oh no, David was a faithful friend. Amen. It didn't matter what Saul, what pressure Saul put on David and tried to do to David. And it didn't matter how Jonathan let David down. Amen. Jonathan found in David a faithful friend. And I just go on record tonight and say, I'm glad in the Lord Jesus Christ I found a faithful friend. I found that one. The Bible said there is a friend and sticking closer than any brother. I found him. I know who he is. Amen. It ain't some natural realm. And hey, thank God it's that spiritual connection that I have in the Lord Jesus. And even when others are not faithful, He's faithful. When I myself am not faithful, I'm glad. Amen. He's the one that said, He's the one that promised me. He's the one that covenanted, and He's kept His promise. And I'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And lo, I'm with you all the way unto the end of the world. And you know what I've learned in this life? And I have found in the Lord Jesus, the one to whom my soul is knit to. I have found a faithful friend. Amen. The Lord is faithful. How faithful is He? He's so faithful when that angel spake. Spake to John the Beloved in the Isle of Patmos. I believe it's there as he began to get ready to give a word to the church of Laodicea, a church that had been unfaithful, a backslidden, carnal, worldly church. And it even took the Lord Jesus and shoved him outside of their congregation and put him on the outside of their life. Amen. Before the Lord ever rebuked them, and before the Lord ever gave them an invitation to return and repent and to get right and be restored. Amen. John the Beloved said, the angel told me to tell y'all that He is faithful and amen. Amen. He's capital F faithful. He ain't little F faithful. He's capital F faithful. I'm glad tonight I found in Him a faithful friend. Amen. That's what Jonathan found. Let me say tonight, he found a deliverer that was able. Amen. I'm preaching off the cuff tonight. Amen. This ain't in my notes. It's in there somewhere. I don't know where it's at right now. Amen. I'm just preaching out the heart. I'm telling you, he found a deliverer that was able. He found a friend that was faithful. And he found a king that was stable. The old King Saul, you talk about an unstable character. He's up and he's down. He's in, he's out. One minute he's raising his sword in victory. The next he's vexed with evil spirits. One minute he's got his armor out, David, like he's going to get along with him. And then the next moment he's throwing javelins and sending men to kill it. One minute he's glad to have David and Jonathan in his presence. And then the next he's even trying to kill his own son, Jonathan. I'm talking about an unstable man, a man that is unstable in the battle. A man who is unstable. A man you don't want to go into warfare with. And if you got to go in the fight with a man that's going to lead you, you don't want to go into the battle with King Saul. Why, preacher? Because he's an unstable leader. And I remind you, your flesh is unstable. That's how I know some of y'all live in the flesh, because you are like this all the time. You're leaning in on a king that's unstable. I'm glad I can report to you tonight. Come hell or high water, amen, let come what may. Brother David, I serve a king that is stable. I've got one I can rest in tonight. Amen. He ain't ever done me wrong. He ain't ever led me into a battle and then done me wrong. He ain't ever led me into a fight and then abandoned me. Amen. He ain't ever, my friend, been weird and strange and odd. Amen. He's been consistent. He's been the same. He's ruled in power and authority. And Jonathan is going to recognize in David that David has the anointing of God upon his life. That Saul has lost the favor of God. And that God will not deal with Saul anymore. And now he's moved on and he's going to do what he's going to do. And he'll do it by a king that is stable in David. And I tell you tonight, amen, I told you the other week, I say it often when we preach on the flesh, and we always quote Brother Benny Mitchell because it's so pertinent. Amen. But Brother Benny Mitchell taught us all for years that the flesh is so unstable and weak and wicked that even God can't do anything with the flesh. He gave up on it, Brother Benny Mitchell said. It's so wicked it gave up on it in the Garden of Eden. You got saved and it wasn't your flesh that was knit to the flesh of Christ. It was your soul that was knit to the soul of Christ. Amen. A spiritual transaction. I'm glad tonight he's stable. I'm glad, thank God, he rules and reigns and it ain't in jeopardy. Amen. That ain't in question tonight. Are y'all listening to me? I found in Jesus. I found the king that is stable, Brother Ronnie. Amen. Ain't nobody. Listen, he ain't in jeopardy tonight of losing his crown. He's not in jeopardy tonight of being kicked off the throne. Amen. Oh, his father loves him. His father has exalted him. His father's given him a name above every name. Amen. When heaven and earth shall pass away, amen, you and I look to the throne of God. And on the right hand of the throne of the Father will be our spiritual friend. He'll be our stable king. Amen. Ruling and reigning throughout all eternity. I'm glad when I'm like this, I'm glad there's one who is the king of my life who is just like that. Glory to God. That's pretty good preaching, ain't it? I'm telling y'all, God's been adding to this thing. So no wonder the Bible said that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. I love the Lord tonight because of what I found in him. I love him tonight because he's been a deliverer that is able. He's been a friend that is faithful. Thank God he's a king that's stable. Amen. As we get ready to go off the radio broadcast, that don't mean we're done in here. I would say tonight to every sinner that is under the sound of my voice that there is a Savior tonight. There is one that my friend came 2,000 years ago. Offer deliverance and salvation. And you may be in the bondage of sin. You may be in the bondage of alcohol. You may be under the bondage of drugs. You may be in the bondage of sexual immorality. You may be in the bondage of religion. You may be under the bondage of some evil spirit of depression. I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a Savior that can save you. There is a spiritual David that can change your life. He can change your life. He can set you free. He can bring victory to your life. He'll be a faithful friend. I know some of you, you got sad stories. Some of you, you've been focused on a spouse that has been unfaithful. And I'm talking about one that'll be faithful. Amen. Even unto the end. Amen. One who cannot and has not lied. Amen. One that is a faithful friend, a man and a king that'll rule and reign over your life, that you can trust with even your dying breath. With your dying breath, he'll be stable. He'll be everything you need him to be. Amen. Let the Lord bring that spiritual connection into your life. Amen. If you do that, then you'll be able to say, I love Jesus. I love him tonight as Jonathan loved David. Jonathan loved David. Boy, I love him tonight. I can't help but think that somewhere in all of that, amen, all that Jonathan found in David. You know what the Bible said about us loving the Lord? Y'all remember what John the Beloved said? We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Why did David go down and fight Goliath? Because he loved that crowd. He loved that nation. He loved those men as bad a shape as they were in. Why was David a faithful friend? Because he loved Jonathan too. Amen. Why was he a stable king? Because when Jonathan saw that, there was something that had to be in the spirit of David. Amen. That drew Jonathan in. David must have loved him back. David must have loved him first. David must express some things to him. Amen. That made Jonathan want to love David. I love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Amen. I love the Lord, but we only love him because he first loved us. I love him tonight. I want to make a statement. If you're really truly saved and born again, you may not love him like you ought to, but you love him somewhere down on the inside of your soul. There's something, or that soul has been knit to him. Amen. And you when you hear his name, amen, you go, boy, that's my Savior. And when you hear him sung about, there's something on the inside. I'm talking about even those that are carnal and those that are saved that ain't where they ought to be tonight. If you're really truly saved, there's something on the inside of you tonight that has to say and declare, I love the Lord. Yes, we could go through the New Testament and talk about how we could evaluate the temperature and the degree of that love, that if it measures to what it ought to be. But, and that's not our purpose tonight. Our purpose is simply to cause us to understand that if our soul has been knit to the Savior, it is something you don't have to be taught. It's not something you have to be told to do. There's something on the inside that you just say, I love my Lord. Jonathan over and over has said, and I'll be done in just a minute. I ain't going to re-preach all the in love with David, but loyal to Saul. I will point out to you, though, that your King James Bible, in expounding the Holy Spirit, in inspiring the author that would record the life of Jonathan, the Holy Spirit moved upon the hand of this writer to say, Tell everybody for time and eternity, Jonathan loved David. There's no doubt about it, he loved him. The problem, obviously, that we have pointed out is that when David began to be loved on and David began to get more attention than Saul got, that Saul, as the flesh does every time that we give the Lord more attention than we give our flesh, began to eye David from that day forward, in verse number 8, that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with it and was departed from Saul. There was an envy and a jealousy wrapped up in the heart of Saul that he was not the blessed one. He was not the anointed one anymore. And now all that had been transferred to David, and oh, how the flesh tonight would long to be loved on, would be loved tonight, and long for our attention, but we're saved. Our soul is knit, and as Jonathan gave attention to David, this is when Saul begins, according to verse number 29, became David's enemy continually. It was Saul that picked the fight with David, not David that picked the fight with Saul. And it is your flesh and mine that fights our relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not the other way around. Ain't the flesh wicked? Amen. The problem that Jonathan had is the problem we have. And it's the thought, we love the Lord. We say we love Him. We sing that we love Him. We, at times, sincerely display in our life, Lord, I love You. And we show that. And I'm not saying that we don't. But our problem is that through those times that we love on David, that the flesh seems to always pull us back in. And we seem so easily swayed to show our allegiance and our loyalty to the flesh. And not that we don't love the Lord, but how loyal we are to maintain that natural connection, sometimes even more to a greater degree than we do even our spiritual relationship to Christ. And Jonathan, boy, he did all kinds of attempts. He tried to reconcile. He tried to get them to get along. He tried to bring them under the same roof. He tried to be a mediator between these two things. And buddy, I'm telling you, when I read Jonathan's life, since I feel sorry for Jonathan, because I see the pull that is on him, that he's knit, his soul is knit over here to David, and there's something that's inclined to love on David and long to be with David, and yet he's being pulled on this other side, and he's in the midst of this tug of war between these two characters that are in his life. I think about my life, and even beyond my own being a pastor, my heart aches. My heart aches in these days, watching the struggle go on in people's lives between their relationship to the Lord and their relationship to their flesh. And it manifests itself in various and diverse ways, in many ways, and things maybe you wouldn't even pick up on, but there are times, Brother Larry, I sit back and I watch, and my heart aches because I see the push and the pull and the tug of war, and I love the Lord, and yet just seems to be so loyal to the flesh. Amen. Somewhere in these last days of Christianity, on the verge of the coming of the Lord, will you listen to me for a moment? Somewhere in these last days in which you and I are living in, we're going to have to learn how to deal with these relationships in our life.
Amen.
Amen. I'm tired of watching people succumb to the flesh. I'm watching right now, and please don't get mad at me. I'm trying to share my heart. I'm watching young people in this place and in other places right now that I see the tug of war going on, and they say they love the Lord. And when I hear them talk about their love for the Lord, there's a sincerity behind it. And yet I see the flesh just sucking them in and pulling them down, and watching them live their life more connected to the natural realm than they are the spiritual realm. I'm watching it in parents. I'm not here tonight. I'm not here to bust you. I'm not here to beat you down. We all have this struggle. People that say, "Preacher, I love you and I love the Lord and I love the church." And I sit back and I watch that struggle go on. And it would be real easy to say, "Well, if you loved it, you would be here." And there's some truth to that.
Amen.
Come on now. And I know y'all are here, so I'm not preaching to none of y'all. Amen. It's all y'all watching. Amen. But I don't think it's all that. I think it is people, Brother Mo, that have not learned how to overcome the pull of that flesh upon their life.
Amen.
And here's the thing we learn about Jonathan. You can do that, and you can live that way in love with Jesus, but loyal to the flesh. You can do that for a while, but eventually it catches up with you. Eventually, you're going to go with your flesh into one too many battles. And the flesh will lead you to a battle in which you'll come to a Gilboa, as Jonathan did. I'm working on a message I've begun even after this last week. As the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 31, that the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. The heap of ruin, Gilboa, heap of ruin. And the Philistines fell it hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew the first son that they slew was the man that concerns our study tonight, Saul's son, Jonathan. I'm working on a message I'll be preaching sometime, who knows when, here or there or somewhere, on he died following daddy. He followed the flesh. He followed Saul into one too many battles, being loyal to Saul one too many times. The day came, Brother Mike, it caught up with him. The enemy finally run him down. Before Jonathan knew it, he was slain, and his brothers are slain. And there is Jonathan, after that David had begged him to come with me. I know that you love me. I know that you made these promises. I know that there's sincerity in your heart. And when David exceeded and wept and cried and begged for Jonathan to quit giving his loyalty to Saul, come with me. I don't know, Jonathan, where we'll end up. I don't know where we'll go. I don't know the path. I can't guarantee it's going to be an easy road. But Jonathan, come with me.
Amen.
Only to have Jonathan a few chapters later come back to David and say, "I'll do it one day. I shall be next unto thee." Jonathan never got that opportunity, Brother Larry. He went back to Saul one too many times. And all that loving David, but being loyal to Saul, caught up with him in the final battle. Jonathan died in a heap of ruins. Now, say, "Preacher, where's the good news?" Here's the good news. Are y'all ready for this? I don't know if you can handle it, Jesse. Jesse's done heard a little bit of it. I don't know if you can handle it, Jeremy. Watch this now. News comes to David. Jonathan has been slain. He weeps and he cries, and there are some things that happen in the land of Israel, and you have another one of Saul's sons Ishbosheth that is trying to take the place of Saul, and the kingdom's a little divided. They don't know what they're going to do. You have the scene of Abner and Joab, and there's a lot of things going on around David. A lot of people David loves have died in those opening chapters of 2 Samuel. In chapter number 4, we're introduced to one of Saul's sons that survived all the mayhem that broke out, that when word had arrived that Saul and Jonathan had died, that the nurse of Jonathan's little son picked him up and began to flee that she might spare the life. It was custom in that day. And no doubt they didn't understand the covenant and all that David would do, but she picked up the child and trying to flee to save his life, she trips and falls, and in doing so, the young child is made a cripple. That young child was carried down and hid away and seemed to be forgotten about. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, David wakes up one day, and here's what he says. He speaks up, and Brother Riley, don't get ahead of me now. Brother Riley's about to shout, but here's what he asked to those that were in the court that day. Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Hallelujah. Glory to God. David said, I made some promises way back yonder to a man that loved me. Man that had stripped himself, had knit his soul to my soul, had laid down his weapons of war he never fought against. Listen, Jonathan may have had some failures, but he never fought against David. He never raised his sword against David. He never threw a spear at David. He never one time entered into battle with David. My friend, and so now, man, Jonathan has been off the scene for several years. Man, seemingly his life ended in a heap of ruin. Had he just not fought and Saul, he'd still be alive. Had he just went all out with David, he'd be next to the king. He'd been living a life of luxury. He'd been living a life of victory. He'd been living a wonderful life, a grand life, and his life died in a heap of ruins. But David said, I know Jonathan may have made a mess out of things, but if there's any way that I can raise up the name of Jonathan one more time, is there any left of the house of Saul, and I might show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake? No, Zab about that time stood up. He said, well, I've just been waiting on an opportunity, David. There is one. He's down in Lodabar. Hey, man, a place of famine, a place of no bread. Hey, man, down in the Lodabar, in the house of Maker. Hey, man, a wasteland, a barren land. And David is lame on both his feet. He's a representation of everything that his daddy's life had ended in. He's a manifestation of the fact that Jonathan loved him and was loyal to Saul. And he's in the shape he's in because of the decisions that Jonathan made. And he ain't got anything to offer, and he's got no strength. He don't have any abilities, and he don't have any talents. All he is a crippled up little boy down there in Lodibar. David said, I love Jonathan. Don't miss this now. Now, he don't say this, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord's burned in my heart. You know what I believe, Brother Larry? I believe David knew that down in the depths of Jonathan's heart, Jonathan loved David. Even in spite of all those times he walked off, he knew there's something on the inside. Mary, he knew there's something on the inside. And Jonathan did love David. He recognized the push and pull and the war and the pressure that Saul had been putting on it. But he knew that Jonathan loved him. He said, you go down there, Ziba, and you fetch him back. Amen. Amen. He didn't do it. Listen, he wasn't just raising up Mephibosheth. He's raising up the name of Jonathan. He wanted to do something for Jonathan. He wanted to do something, man, friend, for that one that had loved him, that one that struggled. Yes, that one that made a heap of ruin out of his life. But he wanted to do something for that one that had loved him anyway. Amen. He bros down, Ziba goes down. And nowhere in them opening verses is David ever, is it recorded, David was ever told the name of Jonathan's son. But when Ziba brings him in, Brother Tim, the first words out of David's mouth is Mephibosheth.
Amen.
Now you can't miss this. Amen. Ain't this good? This is better than the way I left y'all last time, ain't it? I told them at Denham Street, I said, y'all got to feel sorry for my people because they didn't get this. They was shouting and crying and bawling, amen, and running laps and coming to the altar. I said, y'all enjoying this. My church didn't even get this stuff. Amen. They felt sorry for y'all. Mephibosheth. You know what Mephibosheth said? 2 Samuel chapter number 9. He said, oh, you can't miss it. Behold thy servant.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know my daddy loved you. Amen. I know my daddy struggled Amen. Over the pressure Saul put on it. But if you're going to raise his name up, if you're going to bring his name up out of the ruins, amen, if you're going to let me come, I'm nothing more, Mephibosheth said, I'm nothing more than a dead dog. There ain't nothing good about me. He is speaking, amen, because he knows what Jonathan, the predicament Jonathan has left him in.
Amen.
David said, that's all right. Hallelujah. I know Jonathan loved me, and because I loved Jonathan and Jonathan loved me and we made a covenant, and Jonathan may not have kept all them vows he ever made, David said, I'm going to still keep my part.
Amen.
So you may be crippled, but you're going to sit at my table and I'm going to treat you like you're one of my sons.
Amen.
I'm going to treat you, hallelujah, like I promised Jonathan I would treat him and his seed and his house after him. And I'm going to cover your crippleness. And you're not even going to have to go to the field. I'm going to raise you up. Mephibosheth, you're going to eat bread continually at my table. Now, here's what the Lord showed me. And I'm done. Boy, I have enjoyed preaching all day. Hallelujah. I'm about to explode if y'all can't. I have preached on Mephibosheth. I have heard others preach on Mephibosheth. Sam, I've heard it every way. I think every way that you can preach 2 Samuel chapter number 9. But I've never seen this before. And to my knowledge, I've never, Brother Mark, heard one preacher define and give the meaning of Mephibosheth's name. Does anybody here know what Mephibosheth means? I've never heard I'm not saying nobody's ever preached it. I'm not saying they didn't preach it when I was in a service. I can't remember, okay? To my knowledge, I've never heard nobody tell me what Mephibosheth's name means. Are y'all ready for this? His name means dispeller of shame. The one who removes shame. The one where shame is removed.
Amen.
You know what David did in Mephibosheth? He removed the stain of Jonathan's name. Amen. That one that had such a tug of war and a struggle in his life. loving David, but always turning an eye. Y'all know me. You know what I preach. I'm not justifying going into sin. Amen. We ought to love the Lord. We ought to be loyal to the Lord. We ought to serve in faithful. Amen. There's no justification for, amen, a life of fleshliness and carnality. There's no justification. You live that way, you will wind up in a heap of ruin. But you know what I'm glad about, Brother Bob? There's been days I've messed up. There's been days I said I loved the Lord and yet I showed my loyalty to the flesh. Yes. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'd be in a heap of ruin. I'd still be in a heap of ruin. But how many times has the Lord raised me back up? How many times has the Lord took me out of a heap of ruin and set me back at His table? How many times has He removed the shame? How many times has He brought restoration? How many times has He fed me again? How many times has He been kind? How many times has He fetched me? How many times, thank God, has He raised me back up?
Amen.
All I can tell you is, amen, even when we ain't loving Him to the degree we should, He knows the struggle and the battle and the pull and the tug of war. He'll never justify you going with spiritual Saul, but He knows if you have any love in your heart for Him at all. And if you're saved, you do. And if you're saved, He loves you tonight.
Amen.
Enough to bring you back and recover you.
Amen.
If I'm being honest, He's done that for me more times.
Amen.
So, tell us about your Gilboas. I wouldn't tell you about my Gilboas.
Amen.
He knows. He's taken it all in. He has evaluated it and observed it. He knows. But He knows when there's that little spark in there that still loves Him. Thank God. I'm glad He's a God that can dispel the shame. Amen. Ain't that good? Don't y'all wish I'd have gave you that the first time? Some of y'all been limping for 2 months. Gilboa. Well, be happy now, amen. Mephibosheth smiled a while. You may think you're a dead dog, but He thinks you're a precious child of His. He welcomes you to His table. He invites you to eat His bread. He invites you to enjoy your sonship. Hallelujah.